Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, the old Lake County Jail and the spirits that have never left. A conversation with Jackie Thompson and Sandy Boyd. Drive down Main Street in Crown Point, Indiana, and you'll see a beautiful red brick mansion. But there's more to that building, much more. That red brick mansion was built in 1892, and it was the sheriff's house and jail. Originally, 10 jail cells were on site. But soon, they needed more cells, and by 1928, they had grown to 150 cells. For years, it might have been best known as an inescapable prison. That is, until one very famous prisoner, John Dillinger, escaped. These days, it might be best known for the prisoners and guards who have never left. It was recently voted number 6 in the USA Today's top 10 haunted destinations in the U.S. Today on The Grave Talks, we'll talk about those who have never left the old Lake County Jail with Jackie Thompson, Vice President, and Sandy Boyd, President of the Old Sheriff's House Foundation. I was looking at photos of the old Lake County Jail. It looks like a really awesome red brick mansion built. When was it built? Late
1800s? 1882.
Okay.
When it was originally built, the law in Indiana was that the sheriff had to live adjacent to the jail. So the big brick building you see is the sheriff's house. There's like a living room, dining room, front parlor. There's bedrooms. He was required to live here with his family. So it was originally built with the 10 cells, but the overcrowding was, you know, a lot. So in 1908, they built another 3-floor addition onto the jail.
So in 1908, when they built that addition onto the jail, then how many cells did they have?
I think they added another 50 cells at that point. And then in 1929, they finished the third addition on the jail. And that is where you get the 150 cells total. They added like the criminal cell blocks, juvenile.
Well, they had women, some female cells to start with.
Yes, they did.
Some
and then
of those
that
original
first
10.
Addition in 1908 section with that one.
You know, it's so interesting that they thought when they built it that they could get by with 10 cells and pretty quickly realized this is not near enough. So either the area was growing, Lake County was growing pretty quickly, or there was just a lot of criminals in your area, or maybe it was a combination of both.
Both.
I heard Jackie, both. Because that's really significant to go from 10 to 150.
Well, Crown Point was originally built as the hub of Lake County. So we had the criminal courts building, we had the big courthouse and the jail. So it did grow very quickly in this area.
Then how long was it used as a jail?
The jail officially closed in 1975.
Okay, so it went for quite a while. When it closed its doors, did it sit empty for quite a while?
It sat empty for a little bit, and then there was a man who bought this building, the building next door, and our boiler house for the jail. The boiler house, he turned into a speakeasy, but he left the sheriff's house in jail to sit and rot for quite a while. So the Sheriff's House Foundation picked it up in 1989. And the damage was pretty extensive by that point by weather and just neglect. So it was a huge undertaking when they first picked it up. And, you know, the roof was missing in parts. And there was a lot of restoration done initially.
Is it run by volunteers only at this point?
Yeah, yes. The foundation was set up that way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're just a little crazy.
And what's cool, though, is that you did have a very famous prisoner at one point. And at that time, they thought this was a really secure jail, correct? I read that they referred to it as inescapable.
Yes. Kind of like the Titanic was unsinkable.
Right. And this was inescapable. And I was talking to my sister about this interview earlier today. And I said, either it was like they wanted to make up a really good story. Like, if it's inescapable, we want a real criminal to escape, because you guys got a real criminal to escape. So John Dillinger himself actually was the one who escaped.
Dillinger would be like our claim to fame, you know. But there were so many inmates here, and many that were way worse than Dillinger ever was. But at the time that Dillinger was brought here, the politics in the country was at a turning point. So the FBI was a newly formed organization. It had been renamed, and they kind of had to prove that they deserved to be an organization. You know, you had these criminals like John Dillinger out there just robbing banks and mm-hmm. doing that kind of stuff, you know, and here comes the FBI coming in, want to make a name for themselves and name these guys public one. And they get their men together and they're going to get their guy. You know, that was kind of their right. slogan at the time. So you had these guys like Dillinger made into like these Robin Hoods and, you know,
yeah, they were kind of folk heroes, really.
Yeah. And you would see them in the newspaper. You would hear about them. And that a lot of that was politics.
But then it was kind of sensationalized, too, the way it was talked about in a lot of newspapers, that they kind of rooted for these guys.
Well, they were just coming out of the Depression. They were coming out of Prohibition. You know, people felt like they had been under this huge, you know, black cloud for so long that this was exciting, you know?
So what did John Dillinger end up doing that he ended up in the Old Lake County Jail?
There had been a bank heist in Chicago, which is in Lake County. And when Dillinger came out of the bank, he was using the bank manager as a human shield. And Detective William Patrick O'Malley was there on scene, and he took a shot at Dillinger, but Dillinger had been wearing a bulletproof vest that he had gotten from another bank heist and didn't affect Dillinger, and he returned fire, and Detective O'Malley was killed that day. So they escaped from that bank heist. They made it to Tucson, Arizona. The hotel they were staying in caught on fire, and Dillinger and his gang tried to bribe firemen to go in there and get their bags, which made everybody realize who they were. So Indiana wanted him back here for that murder. So they had to make a deal. They actually made a deal with the press because the press wanted an exclusive with Dillinger. So the press paid half to have him transported back here to Indiana. And that's why he was here at this jail. And that was to stand trial for the murder of Detective William Patrick O'Malley.
And then so he ended up going into jail. Were they planning on keeping him there for a long time? Or was it kind of a transition until they sent him to Leavenworth? I'm not sure if Leavenworth was even around at that time, but a federal prison. Was it kind of a stop in between a more permanent prison?
Yeah, typically county jails are not final destinations. Mm-hmm. They're not meant to be long-term holders. So we did have a federal cell block that he went to. But then somebody moved him to the first floor criminal cell block. And he was just meant to go to trial here, and then he would be sentenced to wherever he was going to go, whether that was Indiana State Prison or another prison.
And he got out in a very creative fashion.
There is still controversy on how that actually happened.
Oh.
The general story is that he carved a gun out of a washboard, used shoe polish to make it look like a real gun. Another story is he carved a gun out of soap and used shoe polish to make it look like a real gun. The story I tend to lean towards more is that he was smuggled in a gun.
That makes sense to me. Because it seems like somebody might have noticed him whittling away, or then someone would have smuggled him in shoe polish.
He wasn't in like solitary confinement. He was in a cell block with other inmates. And the day that he escaped, there were other inmates that went with, but before they even left the building, they changed their minds and went right back to their cells.
Oh, I wonder if they knew.
I think everybody knew that Dillinger would be a wanted man, and not to associate with him.
He wasn't alive much longer after that, right?
No, he was shot and killed in Chicago at the Biograph Theater just a couple months later.
Man, he should have stuck around and he'd have been alive for a while.
Well, there's a whole conspiracy on that too, that was not Dillinger that was shot and killed there. And that Dillinger actually lived out the rest of his life in Arizona and died in his 60s.
With Elvis.
With Elvis. Him and Elvis were ended up together. That's such an interesting story.
The other story that goes along with that was that we had our first female sheriff in Indiana at the time he was here, Sheriff Lillian Holly. Her husband had been the sheriff, and he was shot and killed in a property dispute, and they had asked term of office. So when Dillinger came here, she was the sheriff. When he escaped, a lot of the headlines were female sheriff allows Dillinger to escape, Lillian Holly had said at the time that the women in the community were worse to her than the men were.
That would have been a really tough job.
Her husband had been the sheriff here, so she knew the officers here. She had been acting as matron for the woman in the jail. So she knew the staff here well, but I don't know if all of them were trusted.
You had told me that at the time in the early 20s or something around there, you saw some newspaper articles so not only was it criminals held there, there might have been some more mentally unstable people held there as well.
They didn't understand a lot about different conditions. They didn't have the medicines we have now, stuff like that. So they would get people that had committed crimes in here that did have mental conditions, and they would be held here. Sometimes they would be farmed out to the working farms and things like that. But a lot of them spent their time here.
And I want to ask each of you this question. So did you both grow up in Crown Point and you were familiar with the jail? Was it something that you were interested in? How did you end up volunteering there and being president and vice president of the board, by the way?
For me, I grew up in Crown Point, and I didn't pay that much attention to the jail growing up. It was abandoned when we were high school, and we used to break in here all the time.
I was just going to ask, is that a place, if it was abandoned, that people would sneak into, like on a dare or something? Because it just seems like you would have done that.
Well, and the funny thing is, the guy I was dating at the time is now my husband, 35 years. And he had spray painted his name in the basement, and it's still there.
That's
always
funny.
Kind of funny when I see that.
That's funny.
But after Lily and Holly had finished the term of office, she didn't want anything else to do with politics, and she became a big community person. And she would invite the ladies in the neighborhood to come over to her mansion for a tour and tea. And my mom actually went over there many times. But as a child, I didn't know Lily and Holly's significance. And I'm kind of upset that I never met her, you know, as a child. She lived till she was 103 years old. She died in 1993. So she was only finishing her husband's term. That was her only intention. She had never wanted to run for any political seat. It was more to honor, you know, her husband's memory why she was doing it. So in 2008, Johnny Depp came to town to film some of the scenes of Public Enemies where he played John Dillinger. And I came uptown and met Depp like everybody else. And then after that was all done, I came up for my first tour, and I fell in love with the building, mostly the jail. And I started volunteering, and then eventually became a board member. And then 4 years ago, I became the president. So I've been here 14 years.
What was it about the building you think that you fell in love with? Because when you look at pictures of it, it looks kind of creepy. Let's be honest.
No, it is creepy, but it's part of its charm. When you're inside, that building is alive. It tells you stories. And just to see the graffiti on the wall, the names carved into mattresses, like there's actual inmate stuff still in there. You know, it tells a story every corner you turn. And it's amazing, you know, and I'm not even talking about like the ghost hunting part, you know, and those kinds of things. The building itself feels alive with history.
And Jackie, how did you become involved with the jail?
Well, I did not grow up in Crown Point, and I wasn't a bad kid like Sandy and breaking into this place.
I can connect with Sandy. I was that kid.
I mean, if I would have grown up here, I probably would have been breaking in. But my son, we offer community service hours. The kids here have to have 40 community service hours to graduate from high school. And so they can come and act in the haunted house and be service hours for it to meet their quotas for school. So my son actually started here at the haunted house for hours. And he knew my love of Halloween and old buildings. So he convinced me after a lot of begging to come and do one day at the haunted house. That was it. He's like, just come up one day. And then like Sandy, I walked in and I fell in love. I was like, okay, well, this is just, the whole building has just a feel to it right when you walk in.
That's so interesting. And you both picked up on that. You're both drawn to it.
Oh, yeah. And it's just when you walk in the front door, like it's an immediate, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. I loved it.
That's what I think so cool is that so often with these types of buildings, number one, nobody comes along to help save the building. And then it really falls into such disrepair. You can't even safely take people into it. But the fact that this is run by all volunteers, and even the Halloween attraction is volunteers. That's pretty amazing that the community comes together like that.
Well, we do other events throughout the year for the community. We have a the Northwest Indiana Art Show comes up and they set up like 30 artists throughout the house and the jail. And then the community can come in and look at the art. We have like scavenger hunts, murder mysteries, 5K run.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. And we offer ghost hunts March through September. Like every weekend we're here with ghost hunts. We allow other groups to come in and do some like haunted events. You know, so we try to be a community building. And we've also had some like baby showers, bridal showers, weddings.
Weddings?
You know, things like that too.
Well, probably the sheriff's quarters are probably quite nice.
Well, my son got married in the large cell block on the second floor.
I would love to see the pictures. That's awesome. When you were able to save, and by you, the group, the volunteers and everybody, did you have to raise quite a bit of money to get the building to where you could repair the roofs and there wasn't, you know, get rid of the critters that had taken over? Did it take quite a bit to do that?
The original members that started the board, yes, they had to go through a lot to get it registered with Indiana Landmarks, you know, to get approval from the city to do any type of work here, to get the funds to start the work. You know, and like I said, I came in 2009, I think. Since 1989, you know, so a lot of work had already been done restoration wise as far as structural work. And don't get it wrong, it is a money pit. Like there will always be work to do. Mm-hmm. It will never be a finished project. So like the haunted house and all these things, all the money goes directly back to jail, you know, and we can tell people that all the time that, you know, 100% of your donations go directly back into continuing restoration.
Which is quite incredible because there's very few places that can say that, 100%. You know, even an organization that says 80 cents on the dollar goes back. That's pretty incredible. But 100%.
Yeah, we're kind of proud of it. We're really proud of it that we have a board. There's a board of 9 here. And we have a really supportive board.
Another question I want to ask you both, and I'll start with you, Sandy. When did you realize that there was something paranormal going on in the jail? You know, because you fell in love with it. Maybe you're like, I'm really drawn to this place, but you didn't pick up on the paranormal stuff in at the beginning. But my guess is at some point you were like, I don't feel alone here. I feel like I'm being watched, or whatever sensation you might have had. Was there anything that happened that made you think there's something more here I can't see?
No, it was immediate. I had been interested in the paranormal before I even came here. I used to take my kids ghost hunting in cemeteries and, you know, things like that. And, you know, when I walked through the first time, you know, it does talk to you and all that, but I was looking around every corner going, there's ghosts here. I know there is, you know, and you know, there's stuff going on. And when I originally started the ghost hunts here, I did them by myself. And the board that was here at the time was not happy about that. They thought that maybe, you know, a group would be in there and something could happen if I was alone. And I was telling them, I'm more scared about what we're going to find in there than I am like real people. So it was kind of
right. Funny. No, I'd be the same way, you know, because I think a lot of people don't really understand what the paranormal investigators and ghost hunters are doing in there. Because, you know, I don't know if they think they're going through there like crazy people, but they're very respectful and quiet. You know, they're listening for things, they're recording things. They're not in there, to get the evidence they're looking for.
Yeah, we've had great experiences. We've met so many cool people out there. And I don't think people understand how much research goes to on a location. There's been times they tell us information about this place that we didn't know, you know, through their own research. And without the paranormal community's support, we wouldn't have gotten as far as we have, you know, with them doing hunts here and contributing. And we have groups that come here just to help us clean and do different tasks. The paranormal community has been amazing.
And when you think about it, the prime time for them is they went in there at night, although things can happen 24/7, as we all know. But they're going to be there at night when the place is sitting there empty anyway. You could be making a little bit of money.
Well, and I'll let Jackie tell you, you know, when you knew there was ghosties here.
It was immediate.
Both of you picked up on it right away. But I love that neither of you were off put by it. It actually drew you in.
Oh yeah. It's an energy. Like right when you walk in, if you're at all sensitive to energies or anything like that, or interested in it, or even open to it, you can feel it the second you walk in the door. Like it's an amazing and hard to explain feeling. But it, you know, it is an immediate thing. I didn't need to be proven. They have proven it time and time again, but I didn't necessarily need the proof to know that they were there.
And I have to tell you the truth though. Our nicknames are Scooby and Shaggy. are probably some of the biggest chicken ghost hunters out there. We love every minute of it. But at the same time, we are runners.
We'll run. We'll leave you. Something will go bump in the night and we are out.
You guys, I'm the exact same way. I am the exact same way.
We go back in. So, I mean, we're not totally horrible. But
we just need a minute.
We just need a minute to breathe and make sure we're not going to keel over of heart attack or anything like that.
Yeah, we're not young women.
No.
You know, I'm 54.
I'm 44.
Yeah, so we're not like spring chickens. We made a pact. If anything ever happens, we're going to drag each other outside because we don't want to end up haunting this place with the things that are in there.
That's true.
Yeah,
there's plenty other places you can haunt. They've got enough going on there.
Yeah, I don't want to see them on the other side.
Well, do you ever feel like it's a dark energy? Because I find it interesting. You're both, you know, you laugh about it and you have fun and you enjoy what you do and you enjoy being there. But do you ever feel like it's kind of heavy and negative, or does it change day to day?
It changes day to day. Like there's some days when Sandy and I will walk in and it's just the two of us and we'll walk in and we'll end up walking the whole building, all three floors, no problems. And then there's some days when we enter the jail and we get to the center point, which we call the grid room, and that's it. That's as far as we're going that day. You can just feel it like something's off or the energy is just very negative. And honestly, we're too scared to go any further. So we just stand there for a little bit until we hear a little noise and then we
run.
Say we need to take a bathroom break.
Well, and you have to understand when jails, especially, the people that were here weren't here because they were nice people.
Right.
They brought dark energy in this place with them when they were alive, you know?
And one thing that I have, as I've talked to various locations that were jails or prisons, there's the prisoners that are there, but most every one of them says there's also jailers and guards who are still there. Because just like the prisoners, they feel, you know, they have a job to do. And as long as there's prisoners there, they need to be there. Do you feel that there?
honestly, some of the scariest and worst feelings that we've gotten have been in the guard walk.
But then there's times where we're walking through, like we do a walkthrough with each group when they first get here, so they know the layout of the building. And we'll usually carry like a K2 around with us, and it will go off like the whole walkthrough, and we'll stop and, you know, say, hey, is there a guard walking with us? And we usually get a positive answer from that. So, you know, and we've had mediums tell us that there are guards in there that look out for us.
That makes like sense to me. That makes a lot of sense.
But then sometimes we feel that the inmates think we are guards or sheriffs or deputies, because sometimes when we go into a room, everything will go quiet. Like the group will say, oh, there's so much activity in here. And we walk in, boom, goes completely dead.
That also makes sense because you are seen as an authority figure there and you're there all the time.
Yeah. But then again, when we go in by ourselves, we feel like we're sitting ducks.
Yeah.
Sometimes like they finally got us alone.
Right. Because it's like now they can't protect themselves.
Right. Yeah. It's a toss up. You never know what kind of night you're going to have.
There's even some days when we walk into the house and we usually try to consider the house as like the safe zone. And you know, we'll keep the lights on in here. But we'll just be sitting in the living room and it just feels wrong. It's, you know, like there's someone either upset or angry or.
Or that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Like we're intruding. We shouldn't be in there. And they're making that known.
Do you think the prisoners stay in the jail part, or do they ever go into, could they be kind of traveling into the jailer's house?
We think that they stay in the jail. We have house ghosts and we have jail ghosts.
Because I've heard that from other places, like the ghosts go to here. Like there, we have a building here, and I live in Wichita, Kansas. It was a hotel. Carrie Nation went in there with an axe and destroyed the bar. And then they built on an addition, and my friend lived there. And I'm like, is it haunted? And he pointed down the hall. He says, see right there, and you can tell where the addition was built. He goes, they stop there. They don't come to this side. And I'm like, because that side wouldn't exist. So for the prisoners, the inside of the sheriff's home, that was off limits. They couldn't go in there.
Right. Two big steel doors. One in the living room and one in the dining room that would have blocked any inmates from getting into the house. So we feel that that's the stopping point.
So who do you feel is haunting the house then? Do you obviously it's one of the sheriffs.
Well, we have picked up female and male. And then there was a couple incidences where we've picked up children. One night we sat on the floor in a circle and we had the K2s in a circle and we were literally playing duck, duck, goose with a child because it went on for like 10 minutes. Every time we'd say duck, duck, goose, all the K2s would go off in a circle. Crazy. I've never seen that. So we get a mix in the house, women, children, men.
When you have investigators in, you said something about them coming in and investigation and you learning a lot from them. Has there been anything that's really surprised you that someone has uncovered while they've been there?
I think the coolest thing for me is that we had an inmate named Ann Cunningham in 1925, and she killed three of her children with arsenic. And then they like exhumed her husband and son's bodies because they had died mysteriously too. And, you know, we had talked about Ann. We felt she was here talking to us, and some of the groups got like really familiar with that area of the jail, and they would go in and they would get like the SLS camera, you know, with the stick figures. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of back and forth with Ann. Well, we had a group come in one night that they said, oh, we went to Anne's grave before we came here and left her flowers. And it never even occurred to me to wonder where Anne was buried. You know, so I was like, that's pretty cool. And, you know, because you can imagine from 1882 to 1975, we look up a lot of inmates to a certain point. Some of them we don't follow through what happened to them after they left here. Some of them we do. But that was really cool to, you know, find that out about Anne.
Also, I might add, they might have been the first people to ever leave flowers on her grave because after what she had done.
Yeah, supposedly she was the first female serial killer out of Gary, Indiana, which falls under Lake County.
To kill her own kids and husband.
But the crazy thing is in the newspaper articles, she was 49 years old and she talked about having blue periods, you know, and to looking at it from our time now, you start thinking, well, was this like the change of life?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't diagnose then. They didn't have medications. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because and then she was brought here. She tried to take her own life while she was here. It was actually a very sad story.
And probably once she was buried, you know, I can't imagine she has much of a stone. I'm kind of surprised they even found it.
Well, that's what I said. A lot of these paranormal groups really do the research before they come to a location.
I'm going to guess just by talking to you and by looking at the photos, especially photos on the inside, it looks so haunted. If you're thinking of an old haunted jail, that's what this looks like. I'm going to guess it's pretty active most of the time, a lot of time.
All of the time.
All the time.
Last Friday, we got some news. We were voted by USA Today. We were voted number 6 out of 10 as the most haunted destination in the United States.
Wow. And I'm not even sure how to react to that. Do I say congratulations or oh my God? I'm not
yeah,
sure.
We're very happy with it.
I would think that would increase your tourism considerably.
Yeah. I mean, we opened for hunts in March and we are booked within the first 2 to 3 weeks for the season.
And you just do them March through September, correct?
Yeah.
Because it would get very cold.
Because the haunted house is our biggest fundraiser.
Yeah. And then it would be so cold.
Really cold.
Because, you know, built when it was, my guess is there's no heat in the building.
The house has heat. It's all radiator. But the jail does not because that would cost us $1 million to heat, you know.
Like looking at the pictures, and you did say, you know, there's, you know, things still left behind there. It feels like just looking at it, like you just can sense that there's something else there. And by leaving things behind, you know, I also wonder about haunted objects and, you know, are people picking up on things from just what's left behind?
Well, the crazy thing is we're still finding things.
Yeah, Sandy's daughter-in-law is part of our ghost hunting group. And she was just staring at the doors. All of a sudden, she just gets up and walks up, like inside the doorway. I don't really know what it's called, but where the rollers are, you know, to open and close each individual cell. She just reached in and pulls out a magazine. And I was like, why did you go and do that? Did you know it was there? She goes, I don't know. I just felt like something was there. So then she and I went through almost every cell block and reached into the doors and found that they were hiding actually a lot of stuff there. Unfortunately, we did not find a shank, but we did find a full pack of cool cigarettes. We found a pipe that had some like mesh wiring inside it. So it was probably used for either tobacco or drugs. We found a little green bottle that we have no idea what it would have been used for, belt buckle, a whole bunch of just different random objects And so, those were just hidden, stashed away where the guards probably wouldn't check.
When you found those things, it kind of seems like it might have stirred up some activity at the same time, because you're finding their secret stash of things.
Their secret stashes, yep.
Oh, but the funniest one was there was an inmate had nowhere to go. And they gave him a room in the basement. He would paint signs for the jail. And he was an alcoholic, and he ended up drinking Aqua Velvet aftershave and died down there. And there was a bunch of alcohol bottles in the basement. And I...
Sandy, I had nothing to do with this. I always make that known. This had nothing to do with me. I was an innocent bystander. Go ahead.
I decided to bring all the alcohol bottles upstairs in the house.
I said not to.
And there was a group here too. And I brought him up and I set him on the shelf in the living room. As we did that, there was a huge bang on the floor under our feet. Like I jumped on a chair like there was a mouse. Like it was crazy. Everybody heard it.
Yep. So almost like, did it make the floor move like one of those, like, because you jump so big?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard bang. It was like someone had taken a broom handle or something and banged on it from the basement.
You took his liquor bottles.
Yeah.
Because I get that. Like, you're disturbing his things.
Right. Now, that's why I was so against it. But, you know.
Sandy, you got to listen to Jackie.
She needs to start listening more. Can you tell her?
I'm just telling you. She's wise.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the old Lake County Jail with Jackie Thompson and Sandy Boyd. If you'd like more information on the jail, as well as tours and paranormal investigations, visit their website at oldsheriffshouse.org, or you can go to their Facebook page. Just search Old Lake County Jail. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. You'll find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, Boos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.